Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, featuring some of the best bits of the park. Of this part of park?
Of the park.
Of the best bits of the park. Best bits of this. Sorry, I've been drinking whiskey all weekend. Best bits of this afternoon show. But, yes, it was a good show, I think.
Good.
Solid.
5 stars?
Solid 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Danny Kelly, that was partly down to Danny Kelly, of course.
Danny was good.
Who joined us for half an hour to look at some of the big sports stories of the day. You were brilliant, as always, told us a few great stories.
Thank you.
No, not you.
I know that.
Not you, the listeners.
I know.
And also Lars Siversen joined us.
That's been the habit of 21 years.
Yes, Scandinavian football expert. And he told us about, we're talking about Norway. I think a lot of people that don't really follow World Cup qualifying think, how did Norway not qualify with the players they've got? But anyway, he explained all that and looked at the current state of the side and why City have taken a physio with him to Norway. But anyway, that's all explained here. It all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
I mean, Paul, I thought I'd cheer myself up on the weekend and watch Chelsea's women's team. And
oh, yes.
And they lost.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, it's not going well at the moment, but there we go. It wasn't a great performance, really, but they do need VAR in women's football, I think.
Were there VAR issues?
Oh, yeah, Chelsea had a second goal, which would have made a big difference, disallowed. But there we go. There we go. I'm sure it will eventually. I was reading about it. We've got a lot of chat about LIV Golf, but you can see.
I mean, I didn't realise there was a tournament this weekend, which probably tells you about how well it's working from a PR point of view.
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah. That's the thing. According to Greg Norman, though, there are lots of people queuing up to show it, but I'm not sure people will be queuing up to watch it. But this is really the whole nub of it here with a golfer called Pat Perez, who I've never really particularly heard of.
Professor Pat Perez.
He's yet to finish higher than 15th in any of the tournaments. But because of this team section of the thing, he's part of Dustin Johnson's team. He's actually already pocketed $2.6 million.
Oh, we all want to be Pat Perez, don't we, really?
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, old Pat Perez. Absolutely. I can't stop saying it now.
Pat Perez.
Rolls Pat.
We'll talk to Dan. I went to Brentford on Sunday and we'll talk to Danny about
that. We will, yeah. You were impressed by Arsenal. I mean, I saw it on the TV and I was impressed as well.
I know,
actually.
It's a sad
slightly set. Fearful with a derby round the corner. But we'll come on then. We'll talk to Danny about that. You did get a chance to pay your respects.
I did.
On a final journey to Windsor, you were able to see.
It would be pretty poor if I didn't. It was 100, I counted it, 100 steps from my front door, so there was a big crowd. I mean,
there was crowds
all the way along, and I had the idea, though, quite a good idea, of taking a ladder.
Yeah,
because being short.
Well, you can do that when it's 100 steps. It becomes a bit more difficult. You've got to take it about 50 miles.
I just carried this sort of half ladder thing that very useful bit of kit.
Well, ladders are. They are very useful, Andy, if you're looking
And so it was. And I was determined not to film it. I wanted to watch it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
But, afterwards you do think, it would have been nice to have a photo of it. But no, I'm glad I didn't.
You'll find there are plenty of photographs.
Yeah, there were plenty of photographs.
Capturing the moment all along the year.
Look, it was beautifully done. I mean, everybody said that. I had people text me from around the world saying how impressed they were, I think it was brilliantly done. There's no question about that.
Now, a little footballing moment from the weekend. Slightly spiky, David Moyes. You know, when managers when managers lose a game, they get a bit chippy, don't they?
It's now, funny that, isn't it?
Find
they're quite they're often, the same when
they're
they win.
They're often all sweetness and light when they've won a game, but they've had a defeat, a little bit chippy.
Just a
and
touch.
One of the journos in the room was seen to be a touch over-familiar with David Moyes, or Moisey, as we like to call him.
Dear.
And, well, this is how it unfolded.
Moisey, how was your impression of
Moisey? Yeah, don't think we're that close.
Well, slightly aggressive, passive-aggressive laugh there.
It wasn't too bad.
No, I know, but it was, really laughing. But if they'd won 2-0, of course, he wouldn't have minded.
But I felt for West Ham in that game because, you know, they're here, Arsenal were lucky that they hadn't had to play on Thursday and then Sunday lunchtime like that. You know, West Ham to be away in Europe on a Thursday night in a terrible competition that's nothing down
the conference
for you,
plate. It does you no
really,
favours.
No favours. Really. And then to have to play away at Everton, you know, it was clear Everton were much stronger in the second half than West Ham were. And actually, they looked solid, Everton, and it was a good goal, fine finish. Mm. But I did feel for West Ham it was a definite disadvantage.
So we were thinking today, tales of over-familiarity. I mean, have you been in a situation, or maybe someone was over-familiar with you, or you were over-familiar with them, or you witnessed it, but in the Moisey envelope this afternoon, if you've got tales, often with a sort of officialdom, isn't it? Might be the clergy or the police, or do you know what I mean? Or who knows? Mm. I mean, but when did you get a touch over familiar and it was noted? Let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or you can tweet to TSH&J. Something else we'll be discussing with Danny is why, after the Brentford Arsenal game, as Thomas Frank toured the Brentford Stadium, thanking the fans for their efforts. And he was carrying a box of Maltesers under his arm.
Yeah, he wasn't distributing the Maltesers.
No, he wasn't giving them out. No. I mean, he's clearly saving them for later. But look, we don't know. If you're a Brentford fan and you can tell us, maybe there's someone who every week wants to thank him for the job he's doing at the club and gives him a box of Maltesers. Maybe it's sometimes the box of celebrations or something like that. But he was, I mean, to the point where I was watching a match of that, I thought, hang on, really? And stopped and clicked on it. Yeah, box of Maltesers
they don't
under his
say
arm.
That they used to, in the old days, their advertising slogan was less fattening centre. And you wonder, I don't think they do that anymore.
Right.
Because it's still,
I think that was about 1952.
Probably less fattening than solid chocolate.
Yeah. So do let us know. Do you know what the situation was there? And have you ever handed out an unusual gift like that or seen one? I mean, that is quite unusual, right? So you go to a... how do they get them into the stadium?
Box of Maltesers?
Yeah. You try and get into Chelsea with a box of Maltesers.
I think you could.
Do you think you can?
Yeah, sealed box. I don't know if they're already...
I mean, it's not that sealed. It's not lead-lined, is it? I mean, it's easy to get into, but they don't like you taking food and drink into football stadiums, do they? So I don't... Andy, try it for the next Chelsea game.
Despite
the red box, try and get in there with a box of Maltesers and see if you're wrestled to the ground the stewards,
probably.
Which will be my guess, to say, come back and get them after the game. Do let us know, talksport.com/H&J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talksport Now. Normally on a Monday, we like to pour over the Premier League weekend. Mm. We've, of course, for obvious reasons, delayed that for 24 hours. And rather than looking on a game-by-game basis as we do, there are plenty of talking points emerging from the weekend that are still worthy of discussion. And so that's where we're at with Danny Kelly, who always joins us on a Monday. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hey, chaps, how's it going? All good?
Yes, not too bad, thank you.
Good.
Well, let's start with... I've been an awful lot of chat about Leicester since that defeat to Spurs and the comments by Brendan Rodgers afterwards. And I heard Andros Townsend with Laura and the gang on breakfast today saying, give him time. But there is a feeling, I don't know how the Leicester fans feel, but you just sometimes, as a football fan, you kind of know when it's run its course. You kind of know when you look at a team, whether it's your team or another team, you think, that's not working. You know, maybe the best thing for both parties is to bid each other farewell. And it is feeling a bit like that, Danny, isn't it?
I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it, to watch Brendan Rodgers. You know, he's been around a very good length of time now, but even he can't disguise, and he's very good with the media, he can't disguise the thousand-yard stare that's set in. every question results in the sort of, we've got to work hard on the training pitch. But hang on, you've been working hard on the training pitch, I presume. I don't understand what's gone wrong with Leicester. I know that their owners are really, really skint because of the pandemic and the effect it's had on the airport business that they make their dough from. But just to, you both watch a lot of football. Why can't Leicester defend corners? I don't understand it. Mm. When you're defending a corner, somebody has to take the corner, and the goalkeeper stays back 99.9% of the time. Mm. So it's 11 against 9 to start with, right? So at the very least, no matter what the manager's telling you about zones and all the rest of it, the players can work out, right, we're going to go man for man here. That'll still leave us two spare, including the goalkeeper. And so when the header goes in, as they inevitably do against Leicester, at least we'll know who to blame. Because at the moment, they're just sort of swirling around in an amorphous mass of footballers, not quite defending the ball, aren't they?
Well, they conceded 16 last season, we were told in commentary. Wow. And from set plays, and it doesn't look any better. And that is an indictment of the management and the coaching, if you can't turn that round.
They have a set-piece coach. The cameras were kind enough to find the poor fella at one point and stick a caption under it so you could put him in the stocks when he got back to Ashby.
Did he pretend to be looking at his watch and stuff, the sort of stuff you do when you've got one of these?
They always say the same thing about managers. You know, what could he do when indeed he gave the ball away like that? Yeah. I mean, when you make mistakes like that, it's very difficult.
But then the lack of urgency, the lack of pressure. I mean, I'm a very pessimistic Tottenham fan normally when I'm watching them, and I didn't go to the game. I was on Isla, which was so I was watching from distance in Scotland, but watching in a pub there. And at no point, even at 2-2, even though the game was very even in the first half, at no point I was annoyed at our own ineptitude. But at no point did I think we would lose that game and Leicester would go on to win it.
Oh. I mean, when you were on Isla, were you partaking of the local Liquid Delights?
Because I was there.
Because I didn't share your optimism at all, because for 70 minutes...
It could have been the whiskey.
I think you might be slightly numbed to what was going on in that football stadium, if I'm being truthful. Mm. For 70 minutes, they were making as many chances as Spurs. The difference is they weren't taking as many. They had 19 shots at goal. But also, you're right, every time Spurs had the ball, they looked like they were going to score. Not just because they got good forwards, and hooray for Son Heung-min, bless his heart. But you're right, at this level, never mind you can't defend 9 against 11 at corners. Yeah. If you don't, you know, the phrase, if you don't put pressure, if you don't stand in front of the guy who's got the ball, he's an international footballer, whichever he is in the Premier League, and he's got all day to pick a pass. I mean, they made Højbjerg look like Pirlo in the last 20 minutes, didn't they?
The thing is, I mean... Yeah, as a neutral, I thought that Leicester were well beaten in the end. They were all right at 2-2, and the third goal kind of definitely didn't help them. And I just think with Spurs, there's so much improvement to come. They're solid.
I hope so. There is.
Certainly before Saturday week. Anyway.
They're picking up the points. And, we'll come on to Arsenal because I saw them in the flesh. But both teams look solid top four for me.
I did expect the word on Brendan Rodgers yesterday, Danny. I mean, we saw a couple of managerial changes in the EFL almost. So as soon as you hit the start of that international week and they got that 2 weeks to regroup, I was very surprised that we didn't get the white smoke from Leicester.
It's going to cost £10 million to sack him. That's the problem.
Sure, but it'll cost them a lot more if it go down.
Well, that's also true.
You know, the truth of the matter is, and people who've listened to me over the years know, I harbour a particular vengeance for that Derby team of 2006 who went down without trying. This Leicester team have now got less points and conceded more goals in the first six games or whatever number it is than that Derby County team. Wow. And they, player for player, they are not a bad squad of players. You know, Tielemans and Maddison and Ndidi and Barnes is a good midfield. Mm. I can never quite remember the centre forward's name is Patson Daka, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tend to call him Datsun Packer as though got a new sponsor.
Kerry's boy.
I used to drive one of those. Nice car.
Very good car.
The Nissan Packer, I think it is. But just finally on that, before we're going to move on to Arsenal, we've got to blow smoke up Arsenal's backside, which will be painful for all of us.
Let's not do it. Why don't we cancel it? Play a tune.
You almost know for certain that Brendan Rodgers will go and have a great great career and do very well at another club because he's a very good manager. Mm-hmm. Leicester will get an uplift and they'll be absolutely fine once they make the change. I think they will be. They've got too many good players.
Yes.
I mean, look, I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but no. I'm saying they won't go down. So I'll stick my neck out.
Where are they? Well, they're 5 points behind Wolves.
But you do
you
feel
can make
that
up, I suppose.
We're going to hear later on, Andy has got a theory that the league is already nicely cemented in place. And we can discuss that a little later on, because if as it currently stands, West Ham and Leicester are going down.
Yeah, no, less at the bottom, more at the top.
Let's talk Arsenal then. And Andy, you saw them in the flesh for the first time this season at Brentford.
And they're more physical. They move the ball well and much more than last season. Saliba, though, really impressed me. Yeah. Oh, he's a good player. And he had Ivan Toney in his pocket, which nobody else has done when I've been down to Brentford. To be fair, the atmosphere was affected by the weekend's events and there was no sort of Hey Jude before the game. And Brentford were just way off it. And the trouble is that I've got this thing, when I watch Arsenal on TV, if they're 2-0 up, I just go out or turn over or watch something. I can't be bothered to watch them win.
Yeah.
When you're in the stadium, you've got to actually
You're a captive
sit,
audience and they've got a cigar on at 3-0.
I kept thinking they were going to... But Brentford never looked like they were going to come back.
They are looking good, Danny. So there's a North London derby in under 2 weeks now and at their place and they are looking very good.
That's going to be Arsenal's problem, I think, taking points off the other top teams.
Well, we'll see.
We talked about it a lot at the last season on various shows that I did and it seems to me they've got a fantastic... And I mean that word for a fantastic crop of young players, and into that they've injected Zinchenko and Gabriel Jesus and brought back Saliba a year too late. He was the best centre back in France 2 years ago and for some reason they extended his loan to another year when he's once again the best centre back in France, and now he's come and done a great job for them there. They've added it to the young players, and they're very young players, no doubt, we'll talk about it in a second, and they've added a bit of experience and a bit of steel, and they're a very good team. They also, and I heard you referring to at the top of the show, they didn't play in Europe. Think about this now. Whether it's the fact that the season is being compressed, but the European games are really affecting teams. After the Champions League round, Milan lost, Inter lost, Ajax lost, Celtic lost, Juventus lost, and Bayern Munich lost. Didn't draw, didn't struggle. They all lost their league games 3 days later, 4 days later. It's really, I think, in a super compressed season and one where the players are slightly distracted by the oncoming World Cup. I think these teams who are in Europe are going to have to watch these fixtures back in their home leagues very, very carefully because they could slip away.
Yeah, I felt that also with Arsenal because their squad is not that deep. Although they were able to cope without Ødegaard, without Zinchenko on Sunday, you have to say that. But
Smith Rowe was out, I think.
It's going to be. We all know this. The season. All you've got to do is you've got to stay in contention up to when the World Cup starts, and then when the second half of the season, which is going to be much more games, really, I think maybe 22, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, now we've lost.
And you've got another transfer window as well, then, to make adjustments.
So, you know, and obviously there'll be players who do well at the World Cup and aren't the same afterwards. There'll be players who are disappointed and aren't the same afterwards. There'll be players that are injured. So it is going to be a season like no other. We all know that. And but at the moment, looking at the top four, Brighton are up there, but you feel, Brighton are amongst a lot of teams like Fulham, Chelsea, Liverpool, Brentford, Newcastle. You know, there's quite a lot of teams that are all pretty much.
You think the
same.
Top four's done, do you? You're like Paddy Power, you're paying out.
I would. I think it's going to be Man City are going to win it.
And on that bombshell.
Arsenal, Tottenham, and Manchester United.
Bombshell.
Danny Kelly is with us. We're looking at some of the big football stories of the day. We've talked a bit of Leicester. We've saluted Arsenal and the fine job that's going on there. We're going to turn now to a story in today's Times. The headline, Premier League clubs consider plans to scrap FA Cup replays and revamp the League Cup, says our old friend Martin Ziegler. And there are some pretty sweeping changes they'd like to see in the coming seasons, Danny. I think it's one of those situations from the EFL's point of view where they'll have to find a compromise because there are some in the Premier League's number who would like to not have the Carabao Cup, the League Cup altogether. As it is, we'll probably see it being contested by under-21s and it would fall down the priority list for Premier League clubs, certainly those involved in Champions League football.
I mean, I've got mixed feelings about this because on the surface, the scrapping of the replays means there will be slightly less football, which has to be a good thing because we're at saturation point with it now, I think, as consumers. But of course, behind that is the rather unhappy feeling that, you know, the vast amount of money that occasionally teams make from the lower leagues by getting into replays would be wiped out. And I wonder whether they'd have to change the way the things are financed and that you split the gates 50-50 to compensate teams from the lower leagues who are not going to get a replay if that's what's going to happen. But the real issue here, and I've got my serious head on now, lads, is that you've got to be careful don't go down the cricket route here where they keep changing the tournaments and messing with them because they need to fit into television schedules. They've got too many contracts they've got to fulfil to the point where somebody, and I know you're both mad about cricket, somebody like me, I'm nuts about cricket. And this year, for the first time, and I don't think it's advancing years, I think it's just that it's so weirdly arranged and everything's being done to fit that tournament because of that player's need to do this and this franchise has to be protected from that. They've spoiled the actual the feel of the traditional game and the game itself. And I dread to think that football will go down the same route.
It's true, but, you know, we're all not impressed with 100, really, but they love it because it makes money. And I suppose it's the same with the Carabao Cup. You know, Balls has got a theory about the Carabao Cup is basically right about Manchester City.
Well, it's just the old Gary Lineker thing about, you know, you play 120 yeah. minutes and the Germans win on penalties, you get yourself into the final, and then City put out their strongest team and normally put you to the sword. So it's not, if you're an EFL club, you're not thinking it's a chance of glory, because inevitably Pep puts out his best team, and whoever you are, you could be Liverpool or Tottenham or Chelsea, you get a shoeing.
And they, why do they have to say it has to be an under 20? They're perfectly entitled to play their under 21s now if they want to.
That's true.
Why is that a rule change?
I think it's just going to apply to the teams that are in the Champions League, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, as we said, we've seen this. We have seen this before. So, I mean, I don't know how much, but this is, I think, there's going to be an element of compromise because, as Martin Ziegler says, there are some clubs in the Premier League that would like to see the League Cup go as a tournament in their eyes, and it just becomes something for the Championship down and not something that the Premier League clubs worry about. I think that would be sad.
Yeah, it always was, when it came introduced, was it in the 1960s the League Cup came into being? It made us different from the other countries who suddenly had two major cup competitions, and the League Cup quickly established itself as a major cup competition. But that was in the days when nobody questioned the possibility of players playing 70 games of football a season, and they ran out there three quarters fit. That doesn't work anymore. It would be a shame to lose it. I don't know what the answer is, except to say somebody has to sit down and work out how we can play a little bit less football, and football that is predictably timed in your week or your month, and is not just being shifted around constantly, so that the fans are chasing around after the schedule. Because I think it's causing disillusion.
Andy, to move on, why do you think the top four is nailed on?
Tell
us who the top four are currently.
Well, Man City, obviously, going to win it. And they are.
He's paying out.
He is.
Even if Haaland got injured, they'd still win it. But with him, and he'll play a good percentage of games, and he's going to have a month off.
Yeah,
I can't see them not winning it. Can you not? They look so powerful.
And then, who's going to be second then, Andy?
Well, that is between Arsenal and Tottenham. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't split them at this point. Okay. We'll know a bit more when they play each other.
Your optimism.
Manchester United, I think, looking good. On a good run, I think they're looking good. And it's whether Liverpool, Chelsea, Newcastle, who else?
You don't see Liverpool making it, do you?
I'm not impressed with Liverpool.
Is this just knee-jerk Andy top four?
What are you looking at Liverpool? They've lost Mane, which was a big blow to them. And the boy they've signed looks good, but he isn't Mane and he hasn't replaced him. They've had injuries. They don't look as solid in midfield. Van Dijk doesn't look like Van Dijk used to look.
They've got the Champions League to deal with.
Mm. Yep. I'm not saying they can't make top four. Of course they can. They can even win it. I'm not saying but looking at it and looking at the way they've played, they're going to have to improve a lot.
I don't know if you are a betting man, Andy. I should know, but I don't. I've known you for like 20 years. You are good. Yeah. Well, you should get down to whoever your local honest Bob is, the best betting man, and say, what would you give me for neither Chelsea or Liverpool to finish in the top four? Because you're going to make yourself rich.
Well, who knows?
You honestly see neither of those finishing in the top four?
Well, I feel, you know, whoever... I mean, Graham Potter's come in and... We saw the first game. We saw there was an increase in energy, increase in that sort of thing. Mount played better.
What did you like about what he did? Could you see what he changed?
I liked the fact that they looked a bit more lively, which wouldn't have been difficult as they weren't even trying a lick, really.
Yeah.
So, apart from when they played Spurs. And I just...
It's a cup final, Andy, as you well know.
It's a lack of goals in Chelsea that is a big problem.
Right.
You know, Spurs have got, across that front line, right, they've got 50 to 60 goals. I can't see, apart from Sterling, maybe you get 10, 15. I can't see anybody else.
Won't it be all right next year when apparently you're swapping Lukaku for Kane, as I see in the papers?
Called in a Calcio Mercato there in Italy.
I'll be one of those people out. I'll be gluing my hands to the road outside White Hart Lane since I'm leaving.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It'll be interesting to see how Chelsea, Liverpool, Newcastle do. I mean, again, Newcastle have dropped points when they shouldn't.
Really. Who's going then, Andy? Kevin, I'm enjoying this. You've got your top four without Liverpool.
Well, really good.
Who's going?
Forest, Bournemouth,
and
probably Leicester.
You think Leicester? I think they'll be all right.
But it's going to be difficult.
You think Bournemouth as well, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've done all right since Scott Parker left, but I still don't see it, really.
Forest, Danny, as we said before, you know, getting beat 6 by City won't define their season, but there are certain games down there like Fulham that will, and that would be the concern for Forest fans.
Throwing away 2-goal leads won't help.
You can't be losing 3-2 at home to Fulham if you've got any chance at all of, you know, and it's all so strange what's happening. Where are we now? We're nearly, by the time they next play, it'll be October. And Serge Aurier is still awaiting a visa to play. I mean, there's something not quite right with Nottingham Forest. I was impressed, though, with the Fulham scorers, because the second goal, when you looked on the BBC's website, it looked like Fulham were 9 up because they'd put him up as Lobo Alves Palinha Gonçalves. Now, he's registered with the Premier League as João Paulinha. But his actual name is João Maria Lobo Alves Paulinho Gonçalves. Now, I think he's got to get down to his shirt. And it may have to run onto the shorts and the back of his socks as well. But I want to see proper, I want to see the full name now from now on.
Wow.
Go on, Danny, sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry. And the real test there for Nottingham Forest is they conceded 3 goals at home against Fulham and Mitrovic didn't score. So that means you're giving the other team every chance to beat you. And I don't know what he's going to do about it, Steve Cooper, because I totally understand the need to upgrade the entire squad. And it's what I would do if I was playing Football Manager. The trouble is you're then trying to learn on the job in the most difficult league in the world.
Yeah.
And it really is very tricky.
Now, Danny, I bring you bad news to end with. I thought an APB really on Thomas Frank and why he left the field against Arsenal, saluting his fans with a box of Maltesers under his arm would definitely be sorted out by TalkSport listeners who would know. Nobody has come through with the answer. I've gone to the two fonts of knowledge, Googled in Thomas Frank Maltesers, nothing. gone to Twitter, Thomas Frank Maltesers, nothing.
Oh, no.
Now, I can't believe this is a regular... what's the matter with you? Thomas Frank always has a box of Maltesers under his arm.
I have my suspicions.
He was carrying it like the glove bag that a goalkeeper has. But Paul, we haven't got to the
I've
bottom
I've got my suspicions. Oh, I have my suspicions, though. Several things. I think Thomas Frank is the favourite to take over at Leicester if Brendan Rodgers go. We know that Leicester's owners are flat broke, so this may be the worst bribe you've ever seen. They've sent him a box of Maltesers. Said, "Come on, son, you'll love it in the Midlands. The pork pies are excellent as well as the Maltesers."
What about that? It could be a form of tapping up.
I heard Postecoglou was.
Likes Maltesers.
Likes Maltesers.
Come on, let's have your managers that love Maltesers.
Brentford fans would be gutted if Thomas Frank left.
Sorry, Danny.
Andy, I know you often sit in the studio there with your high quality bars of chocolate. Certainly, when I've worked with you, do. Where do you stand? When do you stand on the bars of chocolate that purport to be Malteser chocolate?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I'm not.
He's a bit like, because he's a snob. He thinks non-league football is anyone outside the top six. He doesn't regard
including Chelsea.
Unless a bar of chocolate costs £10, he doesn't even call it a bar of chocolate.
That's not true.
Lovely, Danny. Lovely to talk to you. And
brilliant.
If we do get to the bottom of Malteser. teaser gate, because it is a gate now. We okay. will pass it on to you. We'll make sure you know.
Who is our Brentford correspondent? We'll have to.
I think
Natalie would know.
Yeah, Natalie Sawyer. So there's two calls to be made. There. I look at the producer now. I know he's got better things to do. But A, a call to Natalie Sawyer. And B, if not, the excellent Brentford press department who can hopefully clear, or indeed Thomas Frank himself. Let's go.
Let's have him over.
Let's go to the source. Cheers, Danny. All the best.
Bless you, man. Be good.
There we are. Danny Kelly returns next Monday as we pour over. No, we won't, will we? Because there's no Premier League game. There'll be England to talk about.
Yes.
And there'll be England that night. There'll be loads of internationals.
And Wales. And
so, of course. That's right. Let's not be little Englander. We've got plenty to talk about next week when Danny Kelly joins us once again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We did ask you earlier on for tales of over-familiarity. David Moyes post that Everton defeat, slightly balking at a journalist calling him Moisey. So have you had situations like that? Dan says, I once asked Rod Stewart, haven't you paid your gas bill, when he came into my shop to buy 3 fan heaters for his housekeeper? He didn't look too happy. He can take that, I'm sure. Yeah, he's been in here before, Rod. I think he'd be all right, regular TalkSport listener. What have we got here? Tales of over-familiarity. I was on the tube with a few mates years ago on the way to a Madness concert at Finsbury Park, and Roger Lloyd Pack, Trigger, of course, Money Falls and Horses, was sitting opposite me, and I said, hello, Dave. To which he said, oh, yes, very original. I get quiet for that. Well,
yeah, I know, you told
me. Late, great Roger Lloyd Pack we had in the studio, and I said, how many times a day do people shout, oi, Trigger, or hello, Dave, out of a van window? And he said, about 50. Every day.
So annoying,
you can imagine what maybe that gets like if you want to put yourself in his shoes. But an iconic performance in a great sitcom. Mm. So do keep those coming. We are looking for tales of over-familiarity in the David Moyes Moyesy envelope. TalkSport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or you can tweet to TSH&J. T-S-H-A-N-D-J. We'll also ask you to vote for your favourite clip of the month from August. And that's a little bit late, but we'll bring you the best of them. And you can vote a bit later on. In the meantime, Andy, as we await our next guest over in Florida.
Yes, what have I got here? There have been lots of nice anecdotes over the weekend and the 10 days since the Queen died. And but I did particularly like this football-based one from the former Bishop of London, Richard Charteris. He recalls that, recalling the reply of a centenarian at the Maundy Day service, when the Queen asked to what he attributed his great age, the man said, I'm a Norwich City supporter and I only drink alcohol when they win.
Oh, hey, good line.
good
line.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs with us run until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I hope Danny Kelly is still listening, but if not, we'll pass it on to him. But we have got to the bottom of what went on with the Thomas Frank nursing a box of Maltesers as he left the ground thanking the fans the other day after the Arsenal match. And of course, it was Natalie Sawyer who we asked, a fine breakfast presenter of the weekends. And she doesn't know for certain, but she said, I can only imagine it's because our famous fan Woody may have given them to him. He's often given Thomas chocolates while Thomas is doing the lap of honour. So that's
definitely
what it is.
Wasn't the lap of honour on Sunday.
No, I think, but he had a big smile. I mean, look, you know, if you're Brentford and you've done as well as he has, and you know, I mean, look,
he was full of praise for Arsenal. He was
they're not the sort of fan base who are going to turn on the team after one game.
No,
are they?
Of course
really,
not.
You know, they're not singing Frank out, are they? Really?
Yeah. We were having that usual debate over which one of the twins it was, and it was only settled at half time when. My mate.
Explain this, Andy. Oh, yeah. Really. Yeah. It's a fairly amount of assumed knowledge. Yes. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I was saying earlier that one of the games I went to, or a few of the games I've been to, there are two brothers, they're twins, and one of them likes a drink and the other one's a teetotaler. and you never know which one you're going to get. And so he seemed very quiet the first half, and I said to my mate, I think it's the other one.
It's sober twin.
I think it's the other one.
Not boozy twin.
And then he went for a drink, my mate, at half time, and he saw he had three pints lined up in front of him.
Blimey. Half time.
Half time, yeah. Wow. So, it's that one.
Oh, it's that one. So now you know, boozy twin or,
But even he was quite minded. They were 2-0 down, but even so, you know,
3 pints in and two nil down.
Yeah,
he's still quite quiet.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I mean, you can always when you say hello to him when you first get there, get quite close and smell his breath.
No, I don't think then I want to do
which,
that.
You know which, or just breathalyze him. Buy one of those home breathalyzers. So when you're at the game, just say, "Look, to save me all of it, are you drunk twin or sober twin? Can you just blow on this, please, mate? Just blow on this for a few seconds." We did ask you about unusual gifts off the back of the Thomas Frank Maltesers, and Joe in Norwich said, "When I was a kid, one of my hobbies would be to draw the home shirt front and back and glue them onto the cardboard bit in the middle of a loo roll." A bit quiet around your way, Joe, is it getting this in, really? Those long summer holidays. Like, why don't you? Hello, my name's Joe from North. Anyway, I would then cut out the heads of my favourite players from the local paper and stick them on top. Now, can I see? Nice. I mean, it was purely a hobby. Well, I'm glad to hear it. You didn't think you're going on and doing it for a living. Until I got invited to a training session by a family friend who sponsored one of the coaches, and the 8-year-old me decided to distribute them to the players in question. And I do often wonder if Darren Huckabee or Rob Green still have those gifts. I mean, who knows? I if it was me, I would have cherished it. The only thing is, they come out of the local paper. It's a pretty good chance that they were black and white heads on a yellow and green shirted body.
Oh, great.
So that would have been... It may have looked a bit voodoo, Joe, really, when you handed them over. Especially at players who weren't playing well. But a brilliant email. Thank you very much for that. You can keep those coming. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Should we have some clips of the month?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
We'll have more time to chat later on, but for now, belatedly, it's the clips of the month for August. Yes, we've got 6-4. You're going to ask you to vote. We'll play you the winner just before we hand over to Andy Goldstein and Darren Benton at 4 with Drive. But these were some of the best that we brought you. So we'll have 2 semi-finals and a final at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. We'll do it all on Twitter. And we'll start with the reporter Mike McCarthy, who was covering Hull against Bristol City, struggling with his Colombian strikers.
Toufan, Slater and Seri in midfield with Tyler Smith, Saidu Manesh and Estupiñán. We'll get there eventually. Estupiñán, the new lad up front.
That's very good, isn't it?
Esther Ranson. Yes.
He did well. Now here's a Simon.
Not
he,
a, the, not a, not a.
Here's the Simon Jordan, not a Simon Jordan. Here's Simon Jordan talking about the strains of running a football club.
Can you imagine what I had, Jim, when I lost that football club and the fans held me responsible? Can you imagine what I got? I got piles.
Well, stress does affect people in different ways, it's of course, true. Simon. That I can understand that. This is Reshmin Chowdhury at Craven Cottage having one of those moments where she just can't remember the right words. It would have been easier to say halfway line.
It is a glorious day here at Craven Cottage. We're in the John Haynes stand, almost at the halfway, halfway line.
Yeah, it's quicker. It's quicker to say halfway line. What's next?
It's Fisherman's Blues now, and Nigel Botherway talking birthday celebrations.
With a message from me to Tom Ayres, thanking him for hosting a great show last Sunday. It was Tom's birthday in the week, and he celebrated with an hour on his local river catching chub and roach. Who needs cake?
Well, you quite like cake.
Quite nice
you?
Cake. You can't really put a candle in a chub.
You can't really. Well, you can try. You can try. Put a maggot on your tongue.
But if
I
you
suppose.
Threw him back, the candle would go out. It's too complicated to think about.
Far too complicated. Yeah. Here's Laura Woods introducing superstar DJ Paul Oakenfold on The Breakfast Show.
Okay, so he's been voted the best trance DJ, received 3 Grammy nominations.
Well, if your granny can't give you a nomination, you've got no chance of you, really.
And finally, that's a good clip there. Finally, Alan Brazil with some extra information about the Cristiano Ronaldo story.
Reports are suggesting that Ronaldo was brutally axed in front of the whole Man United squad during a 2-hour summit meeting earlier this week. It comes at the end of a long willy.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay. Well, you learn something every day, don't you?
Fair enough.
You never knew about Cristiano Ronaldo. So there we are. Is it Mike McCarthy struggling with his Colombian strikers at Hull? Is it Simon Jordan with the strains of running a football club? Is it Reshmin cannot think of the word for the halfway line? Is it Nigel, by the way, Fisherman's Blues, you can't put a candle in a chub? Is it Laura Woods and those Granny Awards? Or is it... extra long willy, Alan Brazil. Let us know your favourite at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. We'll have 2 semi-finals up very shortly for you to vote in. And just before 4 o'clock, we will be bringing you the winner. So go along and vote for your 2 semi-finals. We'll have a final. We'll give you an update later and play you the winner.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Malteser update from Natalie Sawyer once again, as we just joining us. Thomas Frankson clutching a box of Maltesers as he walked around the side of the pitch, thanking the Brentford fans after the defeat to Arsenal the other day. Natalie Sawyer, our very own, of course, regular Brentford attendee, says it was probably Woody who'd given him to one of our famous fans, often gives Thomas chocolate. The addition to that, Andy, is that it could be that it's Woody's birthday this week, and it was, in fact, Thomas giving him the Maltesers.
Well, it could
There's only one way to find out. That's for our own Faye Carruthers to lead off probably the most important press conference in Ivan Tony's life with a question about Maltesers. No, we won't make you do that, Faye. Of course not. Because good afternoon, by the way. We're going to hear from Ivan Tony a little bit later on, aren't we?
I will make sure I sit on the front row and push in front of Rob Dawson from Sky Sports and get that in as the first question.
Definitely. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Andy, you were telling me that Manchester City have sent one of their physios over to Norway.
Yes.
Because he's like, as if, you know.
Precious.
their precious player. So you've got the idea that they're sort of standing by the side of the pitch wincing every time there's a 50-50 challenge that goes in.
You're like City fans will be.
Apparently it's because they want to make sure he sticks to the training routines, which have worked so well during the opening 6 weeks of the camp. I know he's going to get a month off in November. Something that none of us can really understand.
They have kept him fit thus far, City, and he has had a few.
Yeah.
I can't think of the right word, but injuries.
Yeah. I wonder what the feeling is in the Norway camp. Let's find out as much as we can. Lars Sivertsen, of course, European football expert, joins us. Hi, Lars.
Good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Is he treated with sort of kid gloves when he goes? Is he treated as anything different when he goes to the Norwegian camp?
Well, the interesting thing about this, first of all, Erling Braut Haaland is a big boy, not just physically, but you know, he's also someone who takes his fitness very seriously, and I suspect he's not one of those footballers who just turn up in the morning, do what the club tells him to, and then go home. Like, he's personally very engaged in how his body is looked after. But the intriguing thing about this is that what's being claimed from the Norwegian side of things, from the national team coach Ståle Solbakken, is that this is not just Erling Haaland related. And I do find this a little bit hard to believe. But he that is what's being claimed by the Norwegian national team coaches, that they'd been looking for a third physio. They had two physios looking after a squad of you know, 20-something players. And they felt it would be a good idea to have in an extra physio. And then Erling Haaland suggested this guy that he happened to know.
Right. So okay.
He worked with that Man City, which is... I concur. I'm with you guys. When I heard the news, I figured, okay, this is Man City wanting to keep an eye on their asset. And maybe that's what it is. But I think in fairness, that's what the Norwegian national team coach is saying, that he's not just going to work with Erling Haaland. He's going to work with everyone. And I suppose it would just be an added bonus for City that they have someone they know and trust at the camp to make sure they don't do anything crazy with their prize asset.
Sorry, Andy, carry on.
I was going to say probably the same thing you're going to say. When you have two wonderful attacking talents like him and Ødegaard, why aren't Norway at the World Cup?
They didn't get the required amount of points in qualifying. I mean, they were in a toughish group, weren't they? Holland and Turkey. But yeah. Still, I mean, is there not the depth in the squad? I mean, there's plenty of other good players within that squad, do you think? But what ultimately happened for those that didn't follow it?
So it does depend a little bit about how much time we have. But really, the last qualifying campaign, you mentioned we were on a group with Holland and Turkey. Obviously, Holland are the top rated there, and the games against Turkey were very important for us. And the first of those was played in Malaga, if I recall correctly, in COVID conditions. And it was one of the first games under our new national team coach. He'd only had a couple of sessions with the squad. And I think there were some mistakes were made in terms of how we set up in that game tactically and stuff. So we lost that. We lost a very important game in qualifying under slightly difficult circumstances. And then for the last run of games, last autumn, where the qualifying spots were all sorted, we had a lot of absentees. We had a lot of injuries and a lot of key guys missing for some of the biggest games. So truth be told, I mean, Erling Haaland, he's a young guy and he hasn't actually... A lot of his career after he really broke out has been, you know, he basically hasn't played that many games yet for the national team. He's played a few. He's obviously, his goal scoring record is extraordinary, but he hasn't played that many qualifiers. And we haven't, you say we have these two great players, but yeah, there's some issues with the rest of the squad. And this was a bit of a half-baked qualifying campaign due to COVID restrictions, due to a bit of an injury crisis. So I think it's more a sense that people are really optimistic about our next qualifying period. Then there is the other thing of, like, none of them can play a centre half, which is an issue. our defence is that there is a little bit of a concern there. Who is going to really? We haven't. I mean, we haven't had a truly top class international centre half since Brede Hangeland, really. Mm. I would argue. Now, a lot of people are hoping that Christopher Ayer from Brentford will mature into that player. We have a young player named Leo Østergaard, who was on the books at Brighton, has had some loans in the Championship, now playing in Italy. He's looked okay. So we have some prospects there. But there is a real sense that yes, we have those two big guys, but the rest of the squad, there are some holes.
I mean, we've had generational talents in the past who don't play at a World Cup. We hope that isn't the case. I mean, George Best is the one that always comes to mind, of course. Mm. But, I mean, is there that fear that that there isn't sufficient depth in the squad despite, you know, a couple of game changes, that he'd be maybe one of those? I mean, it's a long way off. We're talking about another 10, 12 tournaments potentially.
Yeah, and I also think... It's going at the situation the wrong way around and say, oh, is there a fear that you don't have a lot of good players? I mean, there's excitement that we have a couple of very good players. We're a pretty small country and we haven't actually had... We've had a pretty fallow period. I mean, you guys might remember us as, you know, being at the World Cup in 94 and being at the World Cup in 98 and being at the Euros in 2000 and just thinking of us as an established, you know, solid European nation. And obviously the fact that we've had a lot of players in England over the years, you know, it adds to that impression. But the reality for us is that we've had quite a long period of time now where we just haven't been that strong. Mm. And this generation here now... obviously, having one of the best players in the world is very exciting, and having a captain and leader in midfield in Martin Ødegaard is very exciting. But there is good stuff in this generation. If you look, I mean, we have quite a few players who are sort of in their early 20s still, who are looking good. There's just a couple of positions where we're a little bit short. But I would certainly go into the next qualifying campaign pretty optimistic on our behalf. And we have a very good coach in Ståle Solbakken, who I like quite a lot.
And finally, going back to Haaland, presumably you've not been surprised by the impact he's made on the Premier League, which is pretty staggering, I think.
Well, I wasn't expecting that many goals. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit cautious by nature. If you'd have asked me before the season, you know, is he going to score, what is it, 11 in his first seven games for Man City? I would say, no, he probably won't do that. And I guess one of the things, I was one of the people, I'll hold my hands up and admit, I was one of the people who thought it might take a little bit of time to integrate him into the team, because it's still true. He does do quite a lot of different things on the field than what Pep Guardiola, historically speaking, asks from his forwards. You know, he likes guys who press a lot, who run exactly where he tells them to run and all this sort of stuff, whereas Erling Haaland is very much his own man. Now, all of these things, I think those could be challenges in the future. But while he's scoring like between one and three goals every single game, it just doesn't matter. You know, if you score that many goals, no one cares about any other stuff.
No, and he's going to get a month off. As it's, you know, so if you're a City fan or an Arsenal fan, and you're the jewels in your crown, then they're going to get a nice month off.
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, obviously we'd rather he didn't, but that's what it is. And I guess, looping right back to where we started with this, the big enemy for him is injuries. I think that's not a secret. He has a very unique physique. He has a combination of size and power and acceleration that's extremely rare. It does remind you sometimes of like going to the airport when you see the biggest planes take off, like the double deck, the A380s, the Airbuses. When they take off, there's something about looking at it that your brain doesn't quite compute that something that big is actually in the air and flying. It just doesn't make sense. I get the similar thing if you're watching Erling Haaland live, and he sort of runs off with that sort of burst of acceleration he has. It just doesn't seem to make physical sense that something that large can accelerate that quickly. But obviously it does mean he has to be very, very careful with his physique and with his muscles. He has to make sure he doesn't put on more muscle. First of all, he can't get too heavy. But also he has a history of picking up some little niggles here and there. So they have to be very, very careful with all of that. So from that perspective, obviously it's good news for him that he gets a month off.
Thank you, Lars. Thanks very much, as always.
Anytime, gentlemen.
Definitely.
Our Lars Sivertsen, Scandinavian football expert, thanks to him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So we have a winner for the Clips of the Month for August, and it was Alan Brazil. Both, I mean, there was a bit of old school smut, really, for both of them. They're the ones you got to the final. 64% against Simon Jordan's 36. It was Alan Brazil chatting about Cristiano Ronaldo.
Reports are suggesting that Ronaldo was brutally axed in front of the whole Man United squad during a two-hour summit meeting earlier this week. It comes at the end of a long willy.
There we are, route one. But nothing wrong with that. Anyway, we'll have the clips of the week back for you on Friday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Yeah. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Andy, you're back tomorrow.
Back tomorrow, yeah.
Going big on the San Marino Seychelles.
Well, got to.
So stick around for that. More build-up to the England game. On the Friday, which we'll bring you live. So I do hope you can join us from one. If not, the podcast will be available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.